The idea that extraterrestrial aliens are visiting Earth is an idea that just will not go away. We used to call them angels, then UFOs, and now UAPs. A few days ago, President Trump was asked about this by a reporter from Fox News as they flew aboard Air Force One.
We asked the president about it in February.
Barack Obama said that aliens are real. Have you seen any evidence of non-human visitors to Earth?
Well, he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
You know, no aliens are real.
Well, I don't know if they're real or not. I can tell you he gave classified information. He's not supposed to be doing that.
Well,
he made a big mistake. He took it out of classified information. No, I don't have an opinion on it.
Now, as Trump welcomed the four Artemis II astronauts to the White House, one reporter pestered him about UAPs. Now, the sight of astronauts and NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman trying not to laugh and staring at the ceiling is a wonder to behold. Sorry we don't have the pictures here, but here's the audio.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two questions for you. First, on the topic of space, do you have an update on the UFO files and what might be, when we're going to be seeing those?
Well, I think we're going to be releasing as much as we can in the near future. For some reason, and I guess it's just a reason that's been in the minds of people for a long time, and that is such, they want to find out about the UFOs and anything having to do with UFO or related material, and we're going to be releasing a lot of things from that we have. And I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people. I've interviewed people, my first term primarily, but I interviewed some pilots, very solid people, and they said they saw things that you wouldn't believe, so you're going to be reading about it.
You certainly will. Now, I mentioned that the idea is quite old. And there are people who say that, oh, the government's keeping it secret because we couldn't cope. Well, way back in New Zealand in the 1970s, I recorded this off the national program. It's by Peter Reed, who presented the monthly television program The Night Sky from 1963 to 1974. Now, Peter Reed was the New Zealand equivalent of England's Patrick Moore. Not as famous, of course, but Peter Reed was quite famous in New Zealand. So this is going to be a discussion by Peter Reed and others with Professor Alan Forbes of Victoria University. The talk is titled Extraterrestrial Life. Could we cope?
If you read, we know there is no life on the moon, but looking out into deep space, what sort of area and dimension are we talking about? How far are we looking?
Well, into deep space, possibly we're looking about 500,000 light years, which is the whole breadth of the galaxy. In the solar system, we've found no life. Even on Mars, they haven't found any conclusive life there. So it looks very much as though the solar system is going to be empty except for ourselves, which is the only form of life here. This is rather unique as far as we're concerned because it raises all sorts of problems for us, like what are we going to do, what are we doing with it, and so on. I think out there, as many people like Carl Sagan have said, you must accept life in some form or other because there's millions of stars. But then we have to regard the fact that the nearest star to us is 4.25 light years away. That's 26 billion miles.
That's outside our own galaxy.
Outside our own galaxy. So the signal of anything found there was going to take 4.25 years to get here, if we're traveling at the speed of light, which we're not. So let's say the signal is going to take about 100 years to get here. This makes a rather, well, it gives us a sort of an enormous time span in which to come to any conclusions about it.
Professor Forbes, how would a message from space that there was some form of life affect the psyche of mankind? We think we're the only ones at the moment.
I'm afraid I can't speak for the psyche of mankind. You're talking about a communication system, and this communication comes to a particular terminus on Earth, whether it's in Houston or wherever it might be. And the effect on the psyche of mankind depends on the translation of this communication from this receiving station via the various political filters and so forth, or military secrecy filters. The actual reaction would depend to a very large extent on just what information about this communication was made available to quartz mankind.
How about, for example, a photograph of some identifiable form, an animal form of some description?
If I may take the word animal in its literal sense, and again, I think people would react with some degree of curiosity. There might be some twinges of panic in a few breasts, but I think there'd be interest, there'd be curiosity. There'd be those people who say, I told you so. And there'd be those people who say, it's a mirage. We all know that the Earth is still flat. You get a wide variety of responses. If you found something that was humanoid, then again, I think, depending on how this information was communicated to people in general, you would find people looking very carefully to see if it was sub-humanoid, like a monkey, a chimpanzee, something like that, in which case, again, one doesn't really worry. One could put such things in zoos. If one found a humanoid in a spacesuit on this planet, something recognizably a spaceman, or someone construed in that fashion, yes, I think people might start to get a little bit worried, because here is A, an unknown quantity. B, however, it has sufficiently known qualities to make it look a bit human. And most human beings know enough about other human beings to know that they are acquisitive and territorial and so forth, and there might be some anxiety.
Reverend Bob Scott, from the theological point of view, has the Church ever considered this possibility seriously, that we will one day communicate with another intelligence, perhaps greater than our own? Won't this cut right through the very basis of Christianity, that man is the great creation?
I'm not aware of the Church or theologians or whatever doing any serious thinking about this. I don't think it would cause any panic or disturbance, because theologians, we've never claimed that human beings, or we were central or unique in the universe. I would cite the example, for instance, of understanding the presence of angels, which many parts of the Church would accept quite happily. These are free, intelligent beings who are in a relationship to God. Now, I don't necessarily believe there are angels, but many parts of the Church do. And that is a way, provides the machinery of coping with the information that there would be other life forms around. I suspect we haven't done that sort of thinking, A, because there's not enough information, and secondly, because, and this is my private opinion, that we feel we are probably superior to it anyway. I mean, there's no indication there's going to be life that's going to be in competition with us at all. I mean, it's life form, animal form, we think probably very small. And so it really hasn't been a question for discussion that I know of.
So, in other words, for the ordinary man of the street, if one day a message comes back to a radio telescope somewhere on Earth from a distant planet, that a different form of intelligent life is trying to communicate with us, that this will have no impact at all on theology.
As Professor Forbes says, there would be curiosity, I think. There would be all sorts of interesting questions beginning to be raised about what relationship that life form had with its creator and so on. But I honestly don't think there'd be any feeling of threat or disturbance about that. I think partly because, as Peter Reed has already said, there'd probably be enough time for the educative process to go on. So I don't really think there's been any feeling of threat at all.
Do you think man is curious enough to want to know?
He's only curious enough to want to know if he perceives this hypothesized form of life, its presence, its existence, as having any immediate consequence for his, as an individual's personal existence. Under those circumstances, again, how he responds will depend on, you know, how he has responded to all unknown situations that he as an individual has faced in the past. But I would imagine that these are rather restricted circumstances. Something very remote in time and space.
If there was the discovery of a life form that seemed to be threatening, I would think we'd then move into the area of having to suppress that, possibly, until there was further information about it, or until we knew the size of the threat. I can see all sorts of political implications coming in at this point.
Yes, the point is that people panic principally when they don't know what they're up against.
Or have the feeling that what they're up against is stronger than they are.
Yes, that's true, and that feeling may be generated on a sound rational basis, or simply because it looks bigger or something of that kind. Under these circumstances, of course, what you do is to issue information, if you're in some kind of controlling situation, any information that you purvey about this life form is of an optimistic kind.
If man saw this this life form as a threat, do you think this would bind the race, the human race together more fully?
Only for a short time. I think most of us here are old enough to remember the Second World War. There were dedicated patriots in Britain, for example, during the Second World War. There were also those people who quite specifically went out to capitalize, you know, the black marketeers and so forth. Again, you cannot generalize. People will deal with it as they think is to their greatest personal profit.
Peter Reed, how deeply have space scientists thought about this question of actually finding life? I suppose they hope. Dr. William Pickering, when he was in New Zealand recently, talked of going out to Saturn and far beyond. Now, he no doubt one day would like to find some form of intelligent life to be able to give him the information which he can't get on Earth, give it back to him from space. In what way have space scientists thought about this question, and have they done anything about it?
Well, they want to find out how life begins. If they'd found any amoebic life on Mars, it would have given them an idea that life can set up in any form, any part of the universe. They haven't as yet found anything on Mars, and it's just the fact that if they can find life elsewhere, then we've got a knowledge, actually, that life does begin somewhere in the universe, that there's life spread throughout the universe, that life just needs to get the right warmth, attention, and a planet to live on, and it'll get going. But we haven't found that yet. Actually, the whole thing is that we haven't found one trace of life as we know it anywhere in the universe so far. Even in the solar system, they're looking with rockets and Vikings and so on. Out into the universe, they're looking with radio telescopes to discern whether there's molecules of life out there. And they've found numerous molecules, but not a molecule of life, no amino acids at all. So actually, it would infer that life just begins here on this Earth. But how it begins, we don't know. And that's the one thing that they're planning to look into. They haven't any knowledge of how it begins.
Actually, this, Peter, you brought a thought to my mind. If we did find recognizable intelligent life form, if in the beginning, I could imagine those Christians, for instance, who accept as a true record, for instance, the Adam and Eve story, being terribly confused and wondering whether there's an Adam and Eve type story for that planet or whatever. And I can imagine that really confusing the very fundamentalist theologian. But I don't think there are too many of them left anyway.
Well, there's quite a few of them, believe me. Those that write the letters and so on, there's quite a number.
But Peter Reed, some Spain scientists must believe that life in some form exists, otherwise they wouldn't be optimistic enough to put plaques on Pioneer 10, was it?
They do, yes. The Pioneer 10 actually was our first plaque that's gone out of the solar system, actually. It went out, I think it's heading for somewhere in Taurus, which it hopes to reach in about 1 million AD. But this plaque has the man and the woman on it. The number of planets out from the sun, and the third planet shows this thing, this Pioneer 10 leaving and so on. The distance of the nearest pulsars on it, and things like the hydrogen atom and things of that nature on the plaque, in the hope that somewhere, sometime, there may be an extragalactic ship that finds it and gives them some ideas of where it's come from.
Lots of resources are being put into, surely, radio transmissions to space. I mean, they can't be spending millions of dollars just wasting their money. They must expect to find something. What do they expect to come back?
Well, so far, the radio transmissions to space are all connected with heat, with the hydrogen gas heat and so on, the 31-centimeter line and et cetera. They haven't got anything that can pinpoint a target as yet, like an optical telescope can. But they're They're doing an enormous amount of work on quasars and all that kind of thing in the universe with these radio telescopes. But they haven't got anything, as I say, that can pinpoint a planet or any small source entirely.
Professor Forbes, do you think that man should be educated to expect another form of intelligent life to come into his realm one day?
I see no compelling reason for it. I think he has... You're obviously construing the possibility of life being found as a problem, or a problem situation with which man might have to cope in order to survive. I think that it's much more sensible, this is a political view, I'm afraid, rather than a professional one, but there are so many more problems close to home that any educational effort should be directed towards them.
We're not really too worried about the instruction thing, I presume, because there is that time thing that Peter's been talking about. It won't happen overnight, will it?
Well, I'm just wondering if this Mariner type of spacecraft sees some massing up of ships coming to Earth. Then, of course, we have a real problem on our hands, how we're going to meet this. But even so, we may have 100 years or so to chew it over by ourselves before we take any action.
There's a lovely piece of irony here, which has just struck me about Pioneer 10 and its plaques. I think Pioneer 10, yes. You did say. Mm-hmm. Some life discovers a ship and manages, principally because it has at least as efficient intellectual processes as we have, to deduce that so many stars along the left and turn sharp right, you will find this planet with these-shaped people and these-shaped people, and you're talking about a million A.D.
Mm.
The irony is, of course, that probably, if things go on as they are, this planet might well be empty of human life by then.
It could be, yes.
So what a sort of letdown for the people that you're exciting by our attempts to communicate with them.
Yes.
Quite a poser for them.
Indeed, indeed.
We've discovered something now we haven't.
Where they're lying to us.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, in conclusion, would you say then that if photographs came back from a planet far out in space and was shown on the 6:30 television news, that the New Zealander in his room just wouldn't react?
Well, there's some that wouldn't. I know I would. It'd be... Actually, I think mankind needs something like this now to set him back on course again. But it would be a tremendous thing, even though we couldn't do anything about it for 100 years or more.
I wouldn't react badly. I would then begin to discuss with others some interesting questions about what the relationship of that being was with its creator, whether it had gone off course, if I can use that word, with its creator, and therefore needed any redeeming, to use the theological word, whether it was in fact more spiritual or closer to its creator than we were, and that would help us. You know, it would raise all sorts of interesting questions, but it wouldn't be an urgent discussion, I wouldn't think. It would be a lovely discussion for people over a period of time.
We've been listening to Extraterrestrial Life, Could We Cope? Taking part in the discussion were Professor Alan Forbes of Victoria University, Peter Reed, and the Reverend Bob Lowe. The chairman was Martin Hadlow.
And that was recorded from the NZBC during the 1970s. This is The Space Show.